sorts of ways and attempts tonight. Brady Dasha, the opening touchdown run. Then Jaden Shep on the quarterback run for 51 yards. And Shep throwing the 5-yard touchdown pass to Wes Bosworth most recently. Dodge will get the ball for its fifth possession of the half. A long halftime tonight. Hall of Fame recipients will be honored. They're putting up a statue of Eric Rukoff here at halftime, I've heard. Here's the kickoff by the kicker, Banker. It's going to bounce around the 31. Picked up by Dodgeville. That was kind of a dangerous move. They had to cover it. Picked up, but at that point, maybe should just maul on it. They did get the ball right around the 31-yard line. Dodgeville at its own 31. And there are 26 ticks of the clock left here in the first half. Hornets leading 18-7 in Southwest Wisconsin Conference football this evening. Dodgeville up to the line. One man wide right. That's Jack Heimerl. See what Dodgeville does. They've got a strong arm quarterback. Back to throw is Johnson. He's going to gun one all the way deep around the 50, incomplete at the 40-yard line of Richland Center. That ball just kept sailing, intended for Otterbaum, and we have a Hornet that goes down in a heap trying to make that defensive play right on the Richland Center sideline. So the coaches will come out and have a look at the injured player. Both teams going to the sidelines. We have 21 seconds remaining here in the first half. Boy, you never like to see that. Everything going along pretty swimmingly. So the Hornet player, oh, good, getting up and will walk off to the sideline. I apologize, unable to see the number, but it was one of the defenders on that pass play. But he didn't move after going down, and that looked a little scary, but gets up and walks off quite rapidly then when all was said and done. So we're down to 21 seconds to play in the first half. First and 10 for the Dodgers. I should say second down and 10. We still got one on the yard marker. Dodgeville up to the football, operating from their own 31-yard line. Nathan Johnson, the quarterback. Hornets trying to get at him there as they're showing blitz. Johnson back to throw. Pocket breaks down. Johnson rolls to the near side. Going to try to throw it on the run. Throws it near side, and it is knocked away. Actually, a defensive play by Heimerl. Jack went up in the air. Could have been an INT there for Stibbe and company, and then back around the play was number 28, Brady Dosh as well, and Brenton Baker. I believe Brenton has a birthday today, if I remember reading that. That was a lot of hours ago, but pretty sure that's the case. Third down for Dodgeville, just 13 seconds remaining. First half winding down here tonight in Dodgeville country. Three wide receivers on the near side, one to the far side. For the Dodgers, Johnson operating out of shotgun, fakes the short throw. Now going back to throw some air under it, and it's going to be picked off by the Hornets right around the 41-yard line. Intercepted by Baker, I believe it was. Hard to see numbers over there, but great play. So the Hornets get an INT with just 6 seconds remaining here in the first half. Probably will be content to go to the locker room without risking anything before halftime. Jaden Shep hustling back to the huddle. Hornets need one more man. Here comes Kaizen Switzenberg. And the Hornets get into the V formation here. And Shep will take a knee. That will be the final play of the first half. 18-7, our score here. The Hornets up on the Dodgers. The Hornets have rallied with 18 unanswered points against the host, Dodgeville Dodgers. Coming up, the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update. We'll have that for you and more. Some football insight into some of the top games of the week as well. And Tim Peet will have some scores for us on the scoreboard during halftime tonight, which is next. 18-7, Richmond Center leading the Dodgers on WRCO and WRCO.com.
Welcome to the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update. Dairyland Transportation of Richland Center knows what it takes to meet the needs of customers in a fast-paced world. It's similar to the commitment high school athletes make. Dairyland Transportation is proud to salute all high school athletes with the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update.
Tonight, a recap of some of the exciting sports that we've heard this week on WRCO Radio. Last night, the Richland Center Hornets soccer team had a nice win.
Hornets about 40 yards away from the goal. They'll take a long shot. It's in! Oh, long shot by Matucci. And the Hornets score the goal.
Richland Center went on to win by a score of 6-1 over Prairie du Chien, River Ridge, Seneca. Head coach Tom Standler is preparing the team for the last couple of regular season matches and the upcoming WIAA postseason.
Garrison Weiss up front, number 7, has been very good, along with Giovanni Cerna, who has scored lots of goals for us this year. Mason Jelenic, our senior sweeper, I call him irreplaceable. And we have many leaders on the team. Carter Nelson also comes to mind as a player who's put a lot of effort into the year, and we look forward to seeing what he can do against Prairie.
When you look at the next few weeks, you have the seeding meeting, I presume, coming up soon for the postseason. Have you heard any details on that, Tom?
That's correct. We will have our seeding meeting on Sunday, this Sunday, the 13th. And so we'll find out what our tournament lineup is at that point. Our last regular season game is Tuesday, and so we'll have about a week of preparation going into that tournament game.
Are you seeing some good things for the future from the underclassmen?
I'm very enthused by our underclassmen, Phil. They've been giving the seniors a run for their money for positions, and I'm excited about the future for Hornet soccer.
The Hornet boys will play again on Monday when they take on Reedsburg. Well, it was a big win for the Richland Center volleyball team on a sweep over River Valley on Tuesday night. Head coach Jamie Johnson is preparing the team for the postseason.
Next Wednesday, so about 8 days from now, we'll be gathering and we'll be sending out our information at the end of the week to all the other coaches. That's when we'll have probably a better answer for you. I've done a little looking into it. You know, Cuba City right now. And Aquinas would be in our sectional or our half sectional. So they'll probably be the top two seeds. You know, had we been able to pull off a win on Saturday against Cuba City, might have been able to bump us up another spot or two. But I'd like to think we're a top four seed. I'd like to even think that we're a three seed. But we'll see, you know, when it comes down to people voting, how people feel about their conference and the value of the quality of their teams in that. And just kind of overall, that's, you know, sometimes you just never know how people are going to vote. And it comes down to human decisions. And we're not like basketball yet where it's computer generated like they just had gone to. So, it comes down to how good a persuader you are and your record. Record means something, but also your quality opponents. Again, I feel like we've established a good record. I think we're 26-8. Six of our eight losses are to a ranked team, and the other two teams are Reedsburg and then Lodi, who's got 20-some wins, and they may get some honorable mention or recognition after knocking off Cuba City, you know, and us this weekend. We'll see where we're at. But at least we've had some quality losses, you know, that way, so I think that'll help us in the seeding meeting. But, yeah, it's wrapping up. Our lower-level teams got about less than 10 days left, and then it's just focusing all on the varsity and the tournament run.
Yeah, I don't like to look ahead, I know, but, the table is set where you could be at home a few times in that upcoming tournament if you were that fortunate, right?
Yeah, I think it probably will play out that we may get a bye and then host. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull off that regional final. I was really hoping we could get that regional final home game, but that really is reserved for the top two teams in that bracket, with Cuba City and Aquinas ranked, you know, 1-2 or 2-3 in the state. I think that's going to be hard to do. I think they're going to be the natural home teams, but at least we get the bye and then get to host that first game, and then, you know, got to go on the road for the regional game and possibly the sectional semifinal. But then, you know, we happen to get through that gauntlet, we get to host the sectional final. So there's definitely some chances that we will host two, if not three, matches on the way to, you know, for that chance to try to go to state. So that's a good thing, and we're just excited about it, and especially now that we're getting to play some home games, we know what that feels like. It's just nice not to have to ride that bus, get home late, and just having the home crowd. I mean, that home crowd against Platteville was crucial. And as we get further into the tournament and even down this tournament run, if we have a chance to win the conference, we'd really love to see the people come out and watch these girls. We don't talk to the girls about it a lot, but I think it's important for people to recognize and from friends and family of these kids that have worked hard, that to understand there's some quality volleyball coming, you know, out of Richland Center right now. We want to get that word out that, yeah, you know, we cracked that top 10. The new rankings come out later today, so we'll just kind of maybe take a peek at that. Not too worried about that. It's more peeking at it to get ready for the seeding meeting, you know, and see who else is in our sectional and where they're sitting in regard to those things.
Good luck to the Richland Center volleyball team. They have matches next week with Lancaster and Prairie du Chien, scheduled as well at the Richland Center High School Fieldhouse. And it will be nearly the postseason for the Richland Center Ithaca cross-country team. Here is Coach Eric Mindum.
When is conference, and when will sectional be scheduled this year?
Yeah, we've got one more tune-up after Platteville and Riverdale. They host on the 12th this year, and then we're going to have conference on the 17th in October. Lancaster is hosting that. That's a pretty quick course. So we're excited about what we can do there and have the opportunity to get some kids medal and be in the all-conference conversation there. And then our sectionals, again, up in Black River Falls on the 25th of October. So quite a drive up there, but again, we're going to know what to expect.
Eric, do you think you have a shot at conference if things go well?
I think if the cards fall in the right way, our boys team any given day can be right there with Dodge Point. We're going to have to improve from where we're at now, but we know we're capable of it. We've got the talent to do it, so it's really just putting a good race together. On the girls' side, quite a daunting challenge to go up against Dodgeville, Winter Point, and Lancaster's girls' teams. But even just placing in the top three in that is something we haven't done in several decades now for a girls' team. So if we can beat some of these other schools that have competitive teams, Prairie du Chien, Platteville, I think we'd be really happy with that and see if we can't get close to Dodge Point and Lancaster, and who knows.
Is it my imagination, or some of the times, it seems like the times are incredibly fast on some of these courses this year, aren't they?
It is. We've seen that pretty broadly. We looked at what the times were maybe a couple years ago, and it just seems like the whole area here is just getting better. It's been more competitive. So, you know, what might have been a team that would hands down win most of these races, you know, you're getting third or fourth place now just because of the competition here. So I think part of that has weather. We haven't had to run in the rain or poor conditions like that. And as it starts to cool off, I guess I would only expect time to continue coming down.
RCI coach Eric Mindum, his team will be at the big Riverdale Cross Country Invitational tomorrow. This is the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update.
KJ Cold Storage is a warehouse that is locally owned and operated, located in southwest Wisconsin, and is ready to take in and store products in need of refrigeration. KJ Cold Storage is committed to providing a safe, sanitary, and secure storage space. The 50,000 square foot refrigerated facility features 7,680 pallet positions ready to fill and three loading docks to keep drivers moving. Call 739-5085. KJ Cold Storage, all your needs for cold storage.
Travis Wilson from WizSports.net is joining us for the eighth week of the season. My goodness, time flies when we're having fun, doesn't it?
Sure does. We're down to the end almost. Obviously, a lot of conference title races being decided the next couple weeks, and playoff spots wrapped up and being fought for, so it's a fun time of the year.
When you look at the last couple of weeks, there have been some exciting finishes. And I think you mentioned on your program, several teams came down with wins on field goals at the end, didn't they?
Yeah, we don't see that a lot at the high school level, to be honest with you. But there was four games this week that were decided by field goals in the final seconds. And obviously that includes the Richland Center win over River Valley on homecoming. And even going back, a few weeks, my Reedsburg Beavers won a game over La Crosse Logan on a field goal as time expired. So not something we see a lot in high school, but you know, when teams have kickers that can be trusted in that moment, it certainly does make a big difference. Now, Richland Center was, down at the 1 or 2 yard line when they kicked it, so they had an opportunity. But some of the field goals that we've seen, there was a 35-yard game-winning field goal the other day. That is much easier to complete if, you have a reliable kicker than maybe trying a desperation, pass from the 20-yard line or something like that. So it can be a game changer for sure.
And we're seeing a few players playing two sports in the fall. In the case of Grayson Banker, Richland Center plays soccer and then also kicks for the team. So we see that more and more, and that's kind of cool that schools let them do that, isn't it?
It is, and that's the same situation we have in Reedsburg. Our kicker, Drew Roars, is actually the goalie on the soccer team and came out last year. I think it was his first year playing football, at least at high school, and has been a very reliable, excellent kicker for us. Now, it does vary a little bit because there are some conferences that don't allow that. In small schools like Richland Center, it's you see it maybe not as much with fall sports, but you see it more frequently maybe in the spring where kids might be on the baseball team and the track team or something like that. But there are conferences, including the Badger Conference, that do not allow players to compete in two sports in the same season, which I think is a bit short-sighted if they can work it out, and if the time allows and the teams and the coaches allow for it, it seems like something that should be something that can be figured out. But when you can get a kicker from the soccer team, especially, that certainly can make a difference, and we see it fairly often.
Yeah, we see it, I think, maybe more often in spring sports, but even in Richland Center, we had some cross-country runners that have played soccer and football the last couple of years, too. So that's pretty hard to do. That's a lot of steps in one day, isn't it?
It is. I don't know what the schedule looks like exactly for Grayson over in Richland Center, but in Reedsburg, we only get Drew as part of our football practice one day a week, and that's the last 15 or 20 minutes on Wednesdays. Otherwise, he's at soccer practice full time, which is understandable, obviously. So he's not getting a ton of work with the team, but he does work a lot on his own to develop into a pretty solid kicker.
Are you looking at some key games this week? What about here in the southwest part of the state, Travis?
Well, there's definitely some big games this week. Just looking from a statewide perspective, there are actually 10 games this week between teams that are currently undefeated in conference play, which is essentially at this point in the year, if you have two undefeated teams matching up in conference, it's essentially a conference title game. And one kind of neighboring conference in the SWAL, that's actually our Quick Trip and Wisconsin Dairy game of the week. Darlington will take on Cuba City. That game's at Cuba City. Darlington has kind of dominated that league for the last few years, but Cuba City has 27 seniors this year, which is incredible for a school of, around 300 or whatever it is, to have that many seniors, and certainly can lead to, a good amount of success, hopefully, for the Cubans. They did lose an early game this season, but have rebounded. They lost to Potosi Cassville, actually, the week before Richland Center did. So that's a big one in the southwest part of the state.
Potosi Cassville in Division 7, you kind of like their chances in the postseason, I think, don't you?
You certainly do. They have a huge one next week where they will play Blackhawk Warren for the conference title in the Six Rivers next week. Both those teams should get victories this week, and then it's a showdown in Week 9, which is pretty cool. I don't know how many of those we'll get where it's a de facto conference championship game in Week 9, but when we get them, they're pretty special, and that will be a huge game next week, Potosi Cassville and Blackhawk Warren.
Are there some conference championship matchups on this week's schedule for the eighth week?
Yeah, there's a bunch of games, 10 games that are between teams that are undefeated overall in conference play. There's a number of other games where, it's a one-loss team versus the team that's currently undefeated in league action. So, a good amount of games. Another one kind of in our area, Aquinas will play West Salem this week. Both teams are undefeated in the Cooley Conference. Of course, Aquinas the three-time defending state champion in Division Five, although they'll be bumped up to D4 this year. Other ones, you've got Homestead and Slinger in the North Shore Conference, Amherst and Stratford in the CWC Large, West Superior and Bayport in the FRCC North, Prescott and Baldwin-Woodville. So those are some other good ones. A little bit more locally, Monroe will take on Evansville. Monroe's undefeated in the Rock Valley, but Evansville's got one loss, so looking to get at it this week. At this point of the year, every conference title race is still up for grabs. Some are maybe a little more decided than others, where the top team has already played, you know, the other best opponents on the schedule. But you never know what's going to happen. And I got to give a shout out to my Beavers here in Reedsburg. In the Mississippi Valley Conference, there's a scenario that could play out, which is very feasible, where there could be a five-way tie for the conference title in the Mississippi Valley, depending on how things go the next couple weeks, which is kind of crazy and wild to think about.
Huh. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
I don't recall a five-way tie. I think I remember a four-way tie, and it might have even been the Mississippi Valley going back 8 or 10 years ago. A three-way tie is pretty uncommon. We get maybe one a year, so that would be crazy. We'll see how things go. Hopefully that happens, because that would mean that Reedsburg would have gotten a share.
Good stuff, Travis. Thank you so much.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Phil, and go Hornets.
Travis Wilson from Wisports.net.
Hi, my name is Ryan Lemke, RCHS co-principal. As a community, we support our high school athletes and want them to be the best on game day. Did you know that one night of binge drinking can diminish 2 weeks of athletic training? 90% of adults who develop an addiction to alcohol started in their teens. You can play a role in their athletic success by encouraging that one choice not to use substances. Get tools and tips at the Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County's website.
This is Tim Thiede for WRCO Sports, and thank you for listening to the Richland Center at Dodgeville football game. At the half, if you haven't been listening, Richland Center is leading Dodgeville 18-7. Also at half, it's River Valley trailing Platteville 21-6. Also in the half, Iowa Grant over Boscobel 20-7. Belleville leads Fenimore 5-0 at the half. Prairie du Chien leads New Glarus 14-0 at the half. It's Bangor over New Lisbon 48-6 at the half. Cashton 22, Hillsboro 12 at the half. Roqua leads Black River Falls 17-0 at the half. Also, Luther leads Westby 12-0. Cuba City leads Darlington 7-6, all at halftime. It's Wazika Seneca over River Ridge 7-6 in the second. And Mineral Point leads Benton Scales Mound Schulzburg 14-0 at the half. We'll send it back to Dodgeville and the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Phil Nee, right after this.
Wednesday, October 16th, is the 10th annual National Pedal It Forward Day. Here at Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers, it will be our first annual Pedal It Forward Day. All you have to do is stop in at 383 West 3rd Street, where we will give you two flowers, one to keep and one to share. Pedal It Forward is a wonderful way to show appreciation in our community, and we hope that you give a flower to a complete stranger or anyone you choose to brighten their day and to uplift their spirits. This is such a powerful way to illustrate the positive health benefits of giving and receiving flowers. Limited supplies are available, so why not pedal it forward this Wednesday? We hope that while you are at Robin's Nest, you browse our unique gifts and decor and shop our 40% off fall sale and check out our services offered. Oh, and don't forget to grab a gift for your favorite boss. Save the date, October 16th at Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers, 383 West 3rd Street. Call 383-1616.
Welcome back to Dodgeville. It is a Richland Center lead at the break, 18-7. Hall of Fame night here at Dodgeville, so it was a very nice ceremony. They honored teams, cross-country teams from, nearly 20 years ago, and they were here. In fact, 18 young women came back. 2004, Dodgeville girls cross-country team, they were a Division II state runner-up, and the 2005 girls team, which was a Division II state champion. Both coached by Denny McGraw and Joe Hansen. A lot of standout athletes that we remember from Dodgeville's past here. Denny McGraw and Joe Hansen going into the Hall of Fame officially tonight, along with T.J. Wanicki, Bobby Wanicki, Trevor Wanicki, and also in memory of Ted Chitwood. His family members were here tonight as they honored him. And so, yeah, and a very receptive crowd from both sides. T.J., Bobby, and Trevor Wanicki, they all look like they could still get out there and mix it up on the mat. I'm sure they could, probably do. T.J., of course, coaching for River Valley, he probably still does get out there and mix it up on the mat a little bit. College football coming up this weekend. River Falls plays at Platteville, Lacrosse at Oshkosh, Stevens Point at Eau Claire, and Whitewater at Stout. Coming up in Division III football tomorrow. And, of course, the Badgers are at Rutgers, and the Badgers are 2.5-point underdogs. Even though it's a team that they have defeated through the years, the Badgers have never lost to Rutgers. So, and they are an underdog tomorrow. We'll see how that one plays out. Arizona plays at Green Bay coming up on Sunday at noon in NFC North action. Here at Dodgeville, it is a lead for Richland Center. Dodgeville scored the opening touchdown, going up 7-0. On a 9-yard Nathan Johnson to Joey Honorbaum pass. Ethan Burke's extra point made it 7-0. The Hornets bounce back after Jaden Shep returned the ensuing kickoff 75 yards. Hornets are able to punch it in from the 11-yard line. Brady Dosh with the run, and it was 6-0. The extra point kick was blocked. Hornets also would score later on a 51-yard run by Jaden Shep. The two-point attempt was missed, and the final touchdown came with just 28 seconds in the half. Jaden Shep threw a 5-yard pass to Wes Bosworth. The extra point try failed, and that's how we stand here at halftime with a score of 18-7. Dodgeville will kick off to start tonight's second half, and the Hornets going from our right to our left, Dodgeville, our left to our right here in the second half of action. Hornets getting back deep to receive. Playing a little Metallica, Enter Sandman here on the PA announcer, the PA speakers. Good and loud. All right, here we go. On the approach, Dodgeville kicks off end over end, caught on the run of the 15-yard line by the Hornets. Shep with a straight-up run gets all the way to the 35-yard line. So a late flag as well. Shep returns it, and it looks like there was some extracurriculars on the post play of that one. It was already stopped, and one of the Hornets guilty of a late hit. 15-yard penalty, so the return by Shep. Going to put it back to around the 20-yard line after all is said and done. Hornets making a few mistakes here. We've seen our share of penalties. That one looked like it was warranted. It goes back to Richland Center's own 20-yard line, and that's where they will take over. First and 10 for the Richland Center Hornets. Driving toward the end zone, which is closest to Dodgeville School and its new addition. Shep is under center, first and 10. There's the snap, hand off for a running play. And the Hornets runner bounces off one, goes right. That's for A.D. Dosh, 30, 35. He's around the end, 40, 45, 50, and then out of bounds. Looks like he got into Dodgeville territory around the 46-yard line where he was pushed out of bounds. The Hornets are making some big plays here out of plays that are not designed to be big plays. But they're able to bounce out and get beyond the linebacking crew. And then, boy, it's a foot race. Jaden Shep in the backfield, joined by fullback Wes Bosworth and halfback Brady Dosh. Along the line, the center is Braden Kleppe. The guards are Ethan Bindle and Cruz Salazar. Isaac Gald and Abe Bosworth. The tackle positions here to start the second half. First down for the Hornets in Dodgeville territory at the 47-yard line. There's the snap from center. Shep will hand off. And it's Dosh running off the left tackle this time to the 40. Pushes his way to around the 36-yard line of Dodgeville. And again, a late flag will fly. That was away from the play in the defensive backfield. But we'll see how this one goes, where it goes. Man with the white hat is coming out to make the call. It is against Richland Center. Another 15-yarder. Unsportsmanlike conduct. The Hornets' second one on this particular possession, and it pushes the ball back to around the midfield line and then some, all the way to around the 39-yard line. Thank you. Wanted to get confirmation on the ending first half ending interception, and I thought it was Brady Dosh, just got control from the sideline. Thanks to Hayden Burke for helping out with that. I thought it was Brady, but it was, again, right on the Richland Center sideline, and Brady ran into the fray of players who were kind of congratulating him on the sidelines, and so it was tough to see who actually made the play. So this stops the clock here in the third quarter, 11:26 remaining in the third. And the officials, again, have to go to math class here to kind of figure out where it was all happening. That was a great run by Brady Dosh, but nullified here by the penalty. So as they talk about it, the Hornets not playing smart football here to begin the second half. And I think, yeah, I believe they backed it off too far. They were all the way at the 35 of Richland Center, so should be just almost a midfield, I think. Because on the play, he was around the 36-yard line. So, yeah, backs off to the 49 of Richland Center. All right, so it's all sorted out. Two men wide left, two men wide right. Quarterback Jaden Shep has a man just to his left. And now he's back to throw. Gets out of danger for a moment, goes right, nothing there, coming back left. Jaden Shep running for his football life, steps into the 45, down to the 44 of Dodgeville. Tackled by Caleb Keitlinger. So Shep went a long way, gets it up to a third down and 8 yards to go for the Hornets from the 45 of Dodgeville. Quistenberg brings the play in from the far side. 18-7, Richland Center leading here in the third quarter. And they'll head to the football. They've got trips left and ready to go under center is Shep. There's the snap, handoff for Dosh, trying to get around the corner again. Cuts inside to the 41 and then gang tackled by the Dodgers. Jack Graber, one of the first guys there. There was a ball came loose there as well at the end. And I believe a timeout has been taken. Old teams talking about it. Oh, there was a flag on the play. Face mask against Dodgeville. And we've had a few penalties here in this game, and that one will be a big one for Dodgeville against them. Looks like it's only the 5-yard variety, so it gives the Hornets a fourth down. Or, no, is it right? Third down. They had it marked fourth down, but it's third down and a yard to go. Hornets trying to convert here, get a little deeper into Dodgeville territory. RC up to the football. Out of the I formation, Jaden Shep under center. There's the snap from center. Wrap around handoff to Bosworth. Blue collar effort gets a first down. Down to Dodgeville, 32-yard line. And the chains will move again. Bosworth following the up the middle blocking there, right in the gut. Braden Shep, Salazar Bittle, moving the Dodgers out of the way. The Hornets in committee again. First down and 10 for the Dodgeville 32-yard line. 9:30 remaining in the third quarter. There's a quick count. Snap from center. Dodge running right up the gut. Great blocking to the 35. He goes down, I should say 25, down to around the 24-yard line. Brady Dosh, all of 9 yards on one fell swoop. Second down and 1 yard to go after a 9-yard gain. Hornets driving for a possible score on this first possession of the second half. Two men wide left for Shep. Eye formation, goes to the halfback on the run, dash straight up the gut, and he bowls his way down to the 15 to around the 14-yard line. Following a block of Ethan Bindle, the Hornets cruise, and it looks like there is a Dodgeville injury. First and 10 for the Hornets when we return. Richland Center leading 18-7 here in the third. This is high school football Friday night, week 8 on WRCO and WRCO.com.
Julie's Tax Service is certified and ready to provide you with reliable tax preparation this year. Julie is a member of the National Association of Tax Professionals and has been an enrolled agent for over 18 years, specializing in farm, business, individual, partnership, federal, and state income taxes. With great service and an affordable rate, let Julie's Tax Service handle all of your tax preparation needs, located at 159 South Main Street, Richland Center.
Richland County Bank in downtown Richland Center has been a partner in creating opportunities for local people and businesses since 1881. That's a lot of different loans for a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances, but all decided the same way by local people at your local hometown independent bank, the Richland County Bank. See what a local bank can do for you. Richland County Bank, downtown Richland Center. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
There's an injured Dodger, and it looks like he's going to be helped up and make his way to the sideline. That's Jack Graber. He's an important part of the Dodgeville team. So Graber limping off, looks like possibly an ankle injury. Good to have the trainers around to make decisions, help the coaches out, keep everybody safe. So the Hornets head to the line, still waiting to get everybody off the field. It's not a player. All right, here we go. First and 10 Hornets, ball at the 14-yard line. Hornets leading 18-7, and the Hornets fumble. Shep falls on it. A couple of people fall on him. A loss of a yard. Second down and 11 yards to go for the Hornets. Deep in Dodgeville territory, right around the 16-yard line. And the Hornets run the play from the far side. Fingerson and Stibbe split out wide right. Shep will operate under center, and somebody lined up offside, I believe. That'll go against the Dodgers, I think. At least the Hornets were signaling that. Yep. 5-yard penalty will put it to a second down and 7 yards to go for Richland Center. The Dodgers trying to get a stop here. The Hornets trying to put the game a little bit more out of reach. Here's Bosworth bouncing off a couple of his own guys. Now bounces ahead to the 5-yard line on a good blue-collar run. Braden Kleppe to center leading the way, and the boys on pile. Third down and short yardage for Richland Center. Ball around the 5-yard line.
Third down and one.
So the play comes in from the far side. The Hornets have done a good job of converting, and they have kept this ball for the duration of this third quarter. We're down to 7:28 remaining. So another key for the Hornets. Time-consuming drives. Fingerson wide right. Harper wide left. Out of the I formation. Line is set. Shep takes a snap under center, wraparound handoff Bosworth, and he is bowling his way to the goal line for a Richland Center touchdown. Wes Bosworth gets it in for six, for number six, and the Hornets go up 24-7. Extra point try will be coming up for Richland Center. Bosworth not to be denied there. Big run for the senior. That comes at 7:10 remaining in the third. And the Hornets will attempt the extra point, something they have not been successful at yet tonight.
conversion.
So they'll try for the two. Jaden Shep will operate under center, out of the eye. There's the snap. Fake handoff to Dosh. Now Shep going to run it himself. Goes right side, cuts back left. Reaching out near the goal line. No, he didn't get in. Close play. Dodgeville denies again. It is a 24-7 lead for Richland Center with 7:10 remaining in the third of area high school football from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Open season hunting outlet LLC Richland Center has what you want to enjoy hunting and target practicing in the great outdoors. From 17 caliber varmint guns to shotguns, deer rifles, trail cameras, and archery. Open season hunting outlet open from 11 to 5 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8:30 until 2 at 182 North Main Street, Richland Center. Or call 649-0030. Competitive prices on guns, ammo, and other outdoor needs. Stop at Open Season Hunting Outlet or visit openseasonoutlet.com.
Richland Center back to the field now. They'll put the ball in the tee, and Dodgeville will get the kickoff and get the ball for the first time here in the third quarter. Nice, long clock, sustained drive by the Hornets. They did make a couple of mistakes that proved costly, but they did keep the ball for a long time, and eventually they were able to get a score to add six more. Here's the approach, an onside kick by the Hornets, and it's going to be bouncing around. The Hornets think they have it. Ball taken around the yard line. Brady Dosh got in it. The Hornets with an onside kick, and will get it to keep it for the second possession in a row. Brady Dosh recovering that. The officials conferring. They were making sure that it went a total of 10 yards. And it did. So they will start at the Dodgeville 49-yard line. Richland Center up to the football. Whistle sound, and Dodgeville will use a timeout. Timeout on the field, 7:09 remaining in the third quarter, 24-7. Richland Center in the lead. This is high school football from WRCO Radio Sports.
Rake in the deals this week at All-American Duet Center. Save $2 on RV and Marine antifreeze, now $3.99. Save 25% on Havoline Gallon Antifreeze Concentrate, now $14.99. 8-ounce Stable is now $5.99. And Mouse Glue Traps, just $1.99. Tackle all the savings now through the 20th at All-American Duet Center in Toma, Sparta, and in Richland Center.
The Filney Flip Phone is sponsored by Y-Connect Mobile nationwide. Local mobile phone plans with local service and support from Y-Connect Wireless. Reedsburg leading Toma 15-6 in the third quarter. I believe Reedsburg had a rally to take the lead in that one. Mineral Point 28-0 leading Benton Scales Mound Schulzburg. Luther 18-6 over Westby. Bangor 50-12 fourth quarter against New Lisbon. Cashton leading Hillsboro 22-12. And I don't believe we had an update on River Valley. Platteville leading them at last word 21-6. Now that was the halftime score. So we're back here. Hornets with an onside kick. Caught everybody by surprise. They were successful in recovering it. Dodgeville takes a timeout. And that's where we are. Hornets with the ball at the Dodgeville 49-yard line. There's the snap from Shep. Hands up. Running play. It's Dosh. Breaks through to the 45, down to the 42-yard line of the Dodgers. This Dodgeville field is very well marked. Able to see the yard markers. We have broadcast in all sorts of locations over the years. The old days where they would have the yard markers were like a half of a tire. They would cut a tire in half and then paint the yard marker on the side of it. Yeah, they did. Not making it up. And then it'd get windy and it would blow them over, so I'd be sitting there going, okay, he's at the 40-yard line. Had to count it out. Second down at about 3 yards to go. Hand off for the Hornets, and Dosh streaking through from the left side. He's got a first down all the way to the 29. Boy, nice run. Lots of good blocking there for the Hornets, and first down as the sticks move on. Joey Otterbaum on the tackle. for Dodgeville, and the Hornets have the ball at the 30-yard line. Play comes in from the far sideline. Switzenberg runs it in, shuttles it in for the Hornets, who have had the ball this entire quarter. We're down to 6 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Richland Center leading 24-7 in area high school football. Fingerson and Stibby move wide to the right side. Out of the I formation, Jade and Shep under center. There's the snap rolling. There's the pitch. Going to Dodge. He's got the 30. 25. Cuts inside the 20. 15. He's stumbling. He's rolling. He's got a touchdown. He was tripped up around the 5-yard line, stumbled and kept his balance, and the Hornets take a 30-7 lead on a big run there. 30 yards for Brady Dodge, who also recovered the onside kick. So Dosh and the Hornets go up. Let's see if they can be successful. Oh, they're going to try to kick it this time. They have missed at one attempt blocked. They've gone for the two every time since that time and unable to get it done. They'll see if they can get it through the uprights. There's a snap from center. Placement is made. Oh, blocked again. Boy, somebody coming around the edge. Dodgeville scouting Bristol Center pretty well as Christensen and Heimerl. One came around the edge, one came off the right tackle, and they get a block on Banker's extra point kick. That'll make it 30-7. We have 5:36 remaining in the third. High school football coming your way tonight from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Seats Incorporated is a proud sponsor of local high school sports. Over 65 years ago, Seats began in Reedsburg with 7 employees. Now, they're proud to employ over 500, including over 50 in Richland Center. Seats Incorporated, a member of the Nordic Group of Companies, is a South Central Wisconsin multi-plant manufacturer specializing in transportation seating products for both on- and off-highway applications. To apply, visit SeatsInc.com. Seats Incorporated, Reedsburg and Richland Center.
The Hornets will kick it off after the most recent score, leading the ball game 30-7, 5:36 remaining in the third. So here comes the approach by Banker. They'll kick it deep. This one end over end going to be taken back around the 10-yard line by the Dodgers to the 15, to the 20, 25, and the return man spun around to the 26-yard line. Tackle made by Avery McGlynn. Return man was number 9, Jackson Jabs. And that is where Dodgeville will take over for its first possession of the half. We have 5:31 remaining in the third quarter. Dodgeville starting out. They've actually got the ball marked at the 26-yard line of the Dodgers. Dodgeville, I think they're needing another player. They look to the sidelines. Not sure if somebody got hurt or what. They need a lineman. They hustle one into the game. First down and 10 for the Dodgers from their own 26-yard line. Johnson out of the shotgun, and he'll hand off. Running play. No, the running back caught from behind by the Hornets. Well played. So Houston, the ball carrier. And that was Brady Dosh. Well, he's having a ball game tonight. Came from the near side, linebacker spot, shot the gap, caught the running back from behind, and I used to say takedown for two, but now with the wrestling scoring change this year, takedown for three right there. Second down and 11 yards to go for the Dodgers. I was talking to Eric Rukoff about that tonight. I've got to get better versed on the scoring. Quarterback back to throw. Now he's in trouble. Johnson being spun around and back inside the 10-yard line on a big play defensively for the Hornets. Several back there making the play. And there's another Hornet that I don't have a number for. We're kind of learning some new numbers tonight. So we'll try to get that. Back as I have the opportunity, we'll ask next door, who is 34? You guys can check for me. Ball comes for Richland Center on the nice defensive play. The ball is coming to the 10-yard line of Dodgeville. Dodgeville's own third down. We're down to 4 minutes remaining. Thank you. So awaiting a snap from center Dodgeville, and they'll use a timeout. Tate Perkins is number 34. Thank you, Mr. Burke. A couple of players added to the roster that I didn't have. And seems like every time that happens, you think, okay, they bring somebody in. We probably won't mention their name. They may not make much of an impact. And 9 times out of 10, that player makes a huge impact, makes a big play. And then you can't deny them. So that last tackle was made by Tate Perkins on a nice play. So the Hornets playing some good football here tonight, leading to the tune of 30-7 with 3:55 remaining in the third. Dodgeville uses its second timeout here in the half. And they'll head back to the football. The Hornets back on the defense, pushing them back. Third down and a long way, all the way to Ridgeway for a first down for the Dodgers. All right. Dodgeville up to the football. Ball is marked around the 10-yard line. The quarterback is Nathan Johnson. There's the snap. He's back to throw. Guns one near side. Caught by Dodgeville and then slipping down is Jack Heimerl. He might have had a couple more yards, but he kind of lost his footing. Slips down to the 16-yard line, so they get a little bit of it back. Fourth down and still long for the Dodgers. Fourth down at about probably 23. Somebody told me the other day that there is a Pea Ridge. We always kid Henry, that's his hometown, Pea Ridge, Arkansas, but Pea Ridge is over here in this country. There is a general store or something. Somebody was telling me that the other day, so maybe we'll have to stop there on the way home. Fourth down for Dodgeville. There's the snap. Johnson's back to throw, and they're coming after him, and he's hit and dropped back around the 4-yard line. Big play by Wes Bosworth, who gets the QB sack. And that's where the Hornets will take over on downs after a big play defensively. Surprised at Dodgeville that they went for it with their back against the wall that much. But at this point, you got a quarterback with a strong arm. He just does not have a lot of time back there. And a QB sack. Dodgeville turns it over on downs. Hornets have the table set as they will take over on the Dodgeville 4-yard line. Already leading in the game, 30-7. The Hornets up to the football. Shep leads the troops up. The line is set. Out of the I formation. Long snap count. There it is. Handoff going to Dosh right through to the goal line and into the end zone. Brady Dosh scores. Or was it? No, it was not. It was Stibbe on the run. So he gets a chance to score. Caden Stibbe with a touchdown for Richland Center, and that makes it 36-7. See, the Hornets have not been successful on any of their extra points tonight. Let's see what happens here. We're going to try to kick it again. Keep tabs on whoever is coming around the end. That's where Hornets have had a couple blocked tonight. Awaiting a snap. Long snap count, placement is made. Kick is on the way, and that one looks good. And a flag flies. And play is stopped. Not sure whether the extra point will count or not. It comes at 3:02 here in the third. Awaiting a call from the official. That puts Richland Center up. Oh, it's a penalty. Is it against Richland Center? No. They are pointing the wrong way. Against Dodgeville. All right, well, we're confused, but I'm guessing whatever happens, it will be assessed on the kickoff. 3:02 remaining in the third. 36-7, Richland Center in the lead of the Dodgeville Dodgers. You're listening to High School Football from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Changing someone's life is one of the greatest feelings that a person can have. Volunteers get to have that feeling each time they donate their time to help others. Schmidt Woodland Hills is a great place to donate some of that time. Schmidt is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization that relies on the kindness and generosity of members of our community to make a difference in the lives of our residents. If you would like to make a difference in someone's life, contact Jeremy Walsh at Schmidt Woodland Hills.
So after much ado, they did count the extra point by Grayson Banker. So it's 37-7, Richland Center. And the penalty assessed on the kickoff, the Hornets kick from the Dodgeville 45. And this one end over end, and the Dodgers will let it go into the end zone. And the ball will come back to the 20-yard line. So the Hornets, having scored, taking advantage of a short field after Dodgeville went for it, and the Hornets were able to stop them on fourth down for a big loss. 4-yard run by Caden Stibbe. And the Dodgers, for their second possession of the game here in the second half, will be on their own 20-yard line to start out. We'll check the old flip phone again here in just a little bit. Scores getting up there here. 30-6, Reedsburg leading Toma. That one is in the fourth quarter. Dodgeville with the football ball at the 20-yard line, their own, awaiting the snap from center. There is the snap to the QB. He'll hand off, and the running back is tripped to the line of scrimmage. Not much of a gain there for number 3, Hayden Duren. And a nice tackle by Brady Dosh. Brady's done it all tonight. And with 2:40 to go in the third, Dodgeville running the play in. Federal Point leading Benton Scales Mound 28-8. That's in the third. Luther up on Westby 33-12. Final, Bangor beats New Lisbon 57-18. First and 10, Dodgeville from its own 20-yard line. There's the snap, and Johnson hands off. Running play, Houston. He's got a little room. 25 out to the 29 to the 30-yard line. Houston stopped and brought down. First down, Dodgeville. Tackle made by Avery McGlynn. Belleville up on Fenimore, 12-0. I'm not sure whether Tim mentioned that score at halftime. He probably did. But the halftime score of that game was Belleville 5, Fenimore nothing. How often do you see that score at any level of football? But I see Belleville has scored again, leading 12-0 on Fenimore. Both those teams need to get a win. They're kind of on the bubble for a possible playoff. Dodgeville with a running play to the 30 to the 31-yard line. Gain of just 1 yard. Houston again on the carry.
No gain on the play.
And no gain. You guessed it. Brady Dosh on the stop. There he was. And there's another timeout. Been called.
Timeout, Richland Center.
Richland Center uses it. Second down and 10 for Dodgeville in a moment. A minute 24 remaining in the third. Hornets leading it 37-7. An area high school football action from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Celebrating the life of your loved one is a commitment all of us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service take very seriously. I'm Nick Hodge. We have helped families since 1889 celebrate, honor, and remember the life of a loved one. Our promise to you is to provide service that allows you to be able to say goodbye while finding comfort and healing along the way. And we're available to answer your questions at any time at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
Welcome back to Dodgeville here on homecoming night for them and senior night, Hall of Fame night, Eric Rukoff statue night. I don't know where they put that up at, but nonetheless, we always got to give our buddy a hard time over here. Second down and 10 yards to go for the Dodgeville Dodgers. Ball resting just across the 30-yard line. Hornets leading it 37-7 in a long third quarter here tonight. Both teams have used timeouts. We've had some time to sort out some penalties. It's taken some time. Johnson throws over the middle and incomplete. Flag flies late. Pass was intended for